I want to ask for your prayers as I stand before you for a little while this evening to share God's word. When the Lord gave me this thought, I thought about something that I was told many years ago when I was younger, when I was much younger. I spent some time in studying the martial arts, and I had an instructor who was a Korean, and he was a real small man. I mean, he was a very little guy, and when he was very accomplished and very talented in his art. And he could do things that you wouldn't think that someone his size would be able to do. Very gifted athlete, very accomplished. When he first became my instructor, he showed me before I had ever even taken the first instruction, taken the first lesson. He showed me by nothing more than using a pressure point that he could put me on my knees. And the things that he was able to do, I would think that they would have given him great confidence. But I remember one of the things that he taught us, one of the instructions to his students was never underestimate any opponent. Never take any opponent lightly. And that's kind of what I would like to talk about tonight, because I want to read some very familiar scripture in the fifth chapter of 1 Peter concerning our opponent, our adversary, the one that opposes us. And we all know who he is. And the Apostle Peter, he wrote this about him. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, he said, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Now, with the thought that I shared with you a moment ago, I want to begin tonight by saying that we simply cannot afford to underestimate the wickedness of our adversary. We cannot afford to take him lightly. He is ultimate evil. He is ultimate hatred. He is a destroyer. He doesn't seek to do anything but to tear down. The devil doesn't seek to do anything but to destroy. I would challenge anybody to, take your Bible and find one place where the devil ever did anything to benefit humanity. Everything that he has ever done is to for the purpose of being a destroyer. Here's what Jesus said about him. And we find this in the 8th chapter of the Gospel according to John. Jesus was speaking to a group of unbelieving Jews, and he said this to them in John chapter 8, verse 44. He said, "Ye are of your father, the devil." Now, Jesus was referring to their spiritual father being the devil. And the lust of your father ye will do. Now, this is what Jesus said about him. He said he was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Now, there have been many of God's children throughout the history of time, and we have some examples of this in the scriptures, but there have been many of God's children throughout time, and there have been many of the Lord's churches throughout the years of the existence of the Lord's churches here on earth. There have been many that have fallen prey to the devil. There have been many that have been taken in one of his snares. And there have been lives, I'm talking about Christian lives, that have just been ruined and left in shambles because they gave place to the devil. The Apostle Paul instructed us to never do that, to never give place to the devil. We need to understand and we need to remember what he was like the very first time that we ever read about him. And that was when he tempted Eve. And the Bible tells us that there in the garden, when he was in the form of the serpent, that he was more subtle than any beast of the field. He was more subtle than any of the other creatures. And what that word means is that he was just simply cunning and he was crafty. He was more crafty, and he knew more trickery than anybody else. And he is still like that today. We could underestimate his craftiness and certainly end up in one of his evil snares. Now, the Apostle Paul, in the 6th chapter of Ephesians, when he wrote to them, when he wrote to that church, and he told them to take the whole armor of God, the purpose for that was, he said, that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And so I believe that we can see in that where he goes on and he talks about the breastplate of righteousness and the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit and the shield of faith and having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace and all these things that we would put on the whole armor of God that we might be able to stand against the devil. I believe that shows us how powerful of an adversary that we have, that we are facing a very powerful adversary. Oftentimes in a lot of different situations, an adversary that is the most dangerous to you is one that can trick you and one that can be crafty enough to get to you in that way. You know, there have been people throughout the years that this nation, that our soldiers have faced in combat, that were not only, their power was not only by great numbers or by great force, but a lot of times it was by craftiness, you know, by being able to outsmart, you know, some facing an enemy that was very capable of outsmarting you. And so, you know, that's the way that the devil is. We see in the fourth chapter of Matthew what he is about. He has an aim. You know, what the devil is really wanting to accomplish is that he wants to be worshiped. He wants to be worshiped. Now, when he tempted Jesus, he attacked him when Jesus was in a weakened state physically because he had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights and he was hungry. And the devil said, well, why don't you just command the stones be turned into bread? And then he also, he said, why don't you throw yourself down? Because the Bible says, the scriptures say that he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and that they'll bear you up, lest at any time you dash your foot against the stone. So just, you know, the scriptures have said God will protect you, so just throw yourself down. And when he told Jesus to just command the stones to be turned to bread, Jesus answered him by the scriptures. That's the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. And Jesus used the scriptures and said, well, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. And when he tempted Jesus to throw himself down, Jesus said, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. But then we see, I believe what the devil was really after more than anything was he wanted Jesus to actually, he wanted the Son of God to turn away from God and worship him. He offered him all the kingdoms of the world. Listen, there is nothing that the devil will offer you that does not come with a price that you don't want to pay. I promise you that. He offered to give Jesus all the kingdoms of the world if he would just worship him. And the Lord said, well, it's written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And so, you know, we're talking about an enemy that we have. The Apostle Peter said he is our adversary. And we're talking about an enemy that was willing to take on the Son of God. He was willing to try to tempt the Son of God and to actually turn him away. And so you can bet that he's not going to shy away from us. Now, the Apostle Peter, in the verses that I read, he spoke of him as a roaring lion. Now, in the scriptures, Brother Paul, I believe during the tent revival, spoke some about lions, but somebody else did, I think. But anyway, you know, we have accounts in the scriptures of times when there were men that physically faced lions and won, but. But none of them ever did that without God helping them. You know, if you read about Samson, when he subdued the lion and killed it, the Bible says that the Spirit of God came upon him. And when you read about David, when he was keeping his father's sheep and was able to overtake the lion and the bear, he made it clear that it was because that God delivered them into his hands. And so we don't read about people, we don't read about men being able to kill and to subdue and kill a lion without help, without their, you know, they can't do that by their own power. I read about a guy here recently that jumped into a pit with a lion at a zoo, and he didn't come out well. You know, Daniel was delivered from lions. He went into a den of lions and came out without a scratch because God was with him. And this lion, now we don't see the devil physically as a lion, but the Apostle Peter said that our adversary, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, and we're not going to defeat him without help. We're not going to defeat him ourselves. And so the Bible tells us that we are to draw nigh to God and resist the devil, and he'll flee from us. You know, one thing that we have the promise of is that he does not have the power to defeat our Heavenly Father. He does not have the power to defeat God, because God is omnipotent. God has all power. He has unlimited power. The devil has great evil power, but it has its limits. And folks, he's against us. He's against us. And sometimes it surprises me how that after all these years, now from the time that he showed up in the garden there in the form of the serpent, about 6,000 years have gone by since that time. And we have written accounts of the things that he has done to study, to learn, to help us, to safeguard. We can read about things about the way that he works, about his wickedness. And the Apostle Paul even said, we are not ignorant of his devices. I mean, we know what he does. But yet with that knowledge, it amazes me in our lives how easily we let the devil affect us. How easily we give place to him. You know, oftentimes we know. I mean, there are things that are surfacing that we just know. You know, if we don't squelch this, the devil's going to get right in the middle of it and cause trouble, and yet we just allow it to happen. And we really shouldn't do that. You know, when we see him rear his ugly head, we ought to run to God. And by doing that, you know, when we draw nigh to God, listen, if you want to run the devil off, just run to Daddy. He can't deal with Daddy. We just run to our Heavenly Father, and God will put him on the go. But we won't be able to do that. And so, you know, we have this armor that God has given us, and we need to wear it. But you know, something that you'll notice in the sixth chapter of Ephesians, when Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus about that, about putting on the whole armor of God, the last thing he told them was to always be praying. Always be praying. And so Peter said, Be sober. And I think we all understand that that's not having reference to sober. Like, he's not saying don't be drunk on alcohol. Be sober. Be vigilant. Why, Peter? Because we have a great adversary. And who is he? He's the devil. What's he like? Like a roaring lion, walking about, seeking whom he may devour. And I'll tell you what, the closer that you get to God, the more he'll be on your trail. And I believe that we have proof of that with Job. The Bible says Job was an upright man. He was a perfect man. He was one that eschewed, or he was one that fled evil. And he was a man that really worshiped the Lord. And the devil, it seems, just had to get at him. You know, he came before the Lord, and he said, your servant Job, he serves you for naught. You know, you've put a hedge around him. You've blessed the work of his hands. You've been good to him, and that's the only reason that he loves you and serves you. If you take all that away from him, he'll curse you. And God allowed the devil to do that. Job lost all of those possessions, even lost his children, but he didn't turn against God. And so here comes the devil again. And he says, well, you lift your hand against him physically. You afflict him, and he'll turn against you. And God allowed him, and Job was afflicted with sore boils from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. And in pain and in misery. And he did not turn against God. Listen, you know, if the devil comes at you from one angle and he's not able to get you, you can bet he'll come from another one. He's persistent in what he does. And I've always believed in the garden that he knew. And I believe this is part of his cunning, crafty way of thinking. I've always believed that he knew that his best chance to get Adam to transgress the law that God gave him was to go at him through Eve. Because we see that when the devil wanted them to disobey God, he didn't go directly to Adam. He didn't go to the one that God had directly commanded this. He went to his helpmate. He went to Eve. And he lied to her. You know what? I can't tell you everything about the devil, but I can tell you this, he never will tell you the truth. He won't tell you the truth about anything because there's no truth in him. Jesus said there's no truth in him. Everything he speaks is a lie. He's a liar and the father of it. He lied to Eve. He's been lying to people ever since then. He's lying to God's people today. He's lying to lost people today to keep them from coming to the Lord. We have an adversary. I promise you that he wants to disrupt our revival meeting. I promise you that. Promise you that he wants to do everything that he can to to disrupt it because he hates God. He hates him. We're talking about somebody that despises God. If you can imagine hating God, the devil does. He hates God. He hates everything about God. He hates everything that God is out to accomplish through his people. He hates him. He's got a hatred for God. And he's got a hatred for God's people. And he's got a hatred against God's cause and against the Lord's work. And, you know, we cannot afford to take the devil lightly. Listen, when he starts whispering something in your ear, I'll tell you what we better do. We better run to God. I mean, when we, as soon as we know, as soon as we are able to detect that he is trying to persuade us in a way that we should not go, then we better run to the Lord. We better run to God and we better get help. That's the only way. Drawing nigh to God is the only way that we can resist the devil. That's the only way that we can get him to flee from us. You know that there have been, sadly enough, and we know this is true, but sadly enough, there have been a lot of churches throughout the years that were just as strong in their faith and they were just as strong in their doctrine of how people really get saved. They were strong in preaching the new birth, just as strong as Fairview Memorial is. And they let the devil come along and convince them that there was an easier way. That there was an easier way, that people could just merely accept the Lord and go on, and there were a lot of good churches that fell to that, and we lost them, and so you know one thing that we can't afford to do is we can't say, oh, we would never let the devil do that to us. We, you know, as an individual, as a church, we can't afford to take it that lightly. We can't afford to say, I would never let the devil convince me to do something like that. That's why Peter said we better be sober and we better be vigilant, because we are facing a very cunning, subtle, crafty adversary. And he is on the job. He's on the job. How many of you tonight can look at times in your life where you know that what you were doing was giving way to the devil? I mean, I can. I know there's been times when I've listened to things from the devil that I should not have listened to. I remember back in my younger life, especially, you know, there were just times that I listened to the devil and should not have listened to him. I'm afraid that we have throughout our churches right now. I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm afraid that we have a lot of members of Missionary Baptist churches and sadly enough, a lot of young members that ought to be heavily involved in the church, and they ought to be learning and they ought to be growing and they ought to be preparing and they ought to be getting ready, but they're listening to the devil. They've gone out and they're chasing after the things of the world. The things of the world mean more to them than the things of God, and they're just listening to the devil. And I'll tell you what he'll do. He will put things before you that will lead you away from God, and he'll sit there and he'll convince you, if you'll let him, that there's nothing wrong with it. If you allow the devil, you know what he'll have you doing? He'll have you saying, well, this is really not bad. He'll have you justifying. The devil will have you drawn away from God and have you justifying what you're doing. You can't convince me otherwise, because I've seen it happen. And they'll be saying, well, this is really not bad. Well, yeah, it is, because you prefer it above the things of God. So it's bad. It's bad. It's evil. I remember I was helping Victory Church in Hendersonville several years ago in a revival. And I felt like preaching this, and I remember I preached a sermon entitled, Are You Ready to Rumble? Because I'm telling you, we got to fight. We got to fight. We're going to be opposed. We're going to be opposed. Everything we try to do for God, we're going to be challenged. And the devil's going to oppose it. And we better be ready to fight. We better have on the armor, and we better be looking to God for the strength to overcome the evil one. I hate him. I hate the devil. And one of these days, God's going to put him in his place. I believe it's the 12th chapter of Revelation tells us that he knows that his time's limited. He knows that he has a short time, and he knows what his end will be. But he's certainly going to wreak havoc all that he can until that comes. And so remember what the Apostle Peter shared with us, that we need to be sober and be vigilant, because we have an adversary, the devil, who as a roaring lion is walking around seeking whom he may devour. Appreciate your attention tonight. Maybe someone has something on your heart. Amen.
Y'all pray for me that the Lord will strengthen me, and I want to try to look at maybe my ability to do something, because I realize I don't have the ability to do anything. But I just have more faith and trust in the Lord and follow him. What he brings us into, he'll bring us to.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Bless you, Brother Mike. You know what's... And something that's really amazing about that situation with the spies is they came back and they said, we can't take this land, when God had already told them that he'd give it to them. And I mean, if you really think about what they did, they threw that right in God's face. They basically called God a liar. You know, he promised them that land, and then they came back and said, we can't go there. See, that's the craftiness of the devil. Appreciate that. Somebody else, something on your heart. Been good today to be in the Lord's house. Thankful for his blessings, and I'm glad that we have a home where the devil won't be allowed. Amen. He won't ever be allowed in heaven. He won't ever be able to disrupt that place. I think we all know that he is just he's running loose in this nation. I mean, he's just wreaking havoc in the minds and in the lives of people. But he doesn't do anything unless he's allowed to do it. You know, the saying, the devil made me do it. No, the devil doesn't make us do it. We've got to allow it.